thankful for this opportunity to be together today. For the Lord helping us to prepare for eternity. I would like to today kind of talk to the young people where we are in time today. And for those of us that are older, to reminisce for just a little bit. You think about technology, where we are today with technology, and we take for granted what we have. Look back in time a little bit. Do you remember, do the older ones here remember, when if you wanted to make a phone call, you had to decide which rate you were willing to pay? If it was real important, you would pay the day rate. That's from 7 o'clock to maybe 5 o'clock. You're going to pay more money, but if it's important to you, you can go ahead and pay that. But if you really like to save money, then call your relatives from 11 at night till 7 in the morning. You know, that hardly even seems like that kind of time existed. So much has changed for us today. There was a time when you left your house and your telephone, and no one knew where you were until you got back to your home and your telephone again. Do some of y'all remember when you used to take a trip with two cars trying to travel cross country? It was an adventure. Trying to keep together, we take for granted today being able to do it. We have a cell phone where we can talk back and forth to each other. But I can remember years ago where we used to have an agreement before the two cars started out. When we get to this big city, if we get separated, we're lost, except for one thing. Call back to somebody, and what you try to do is pick somebody that stayed home. There's going to be a common number that you call. Both of us will call, and we'll find out how to get back together. Folks, that was a long time ago. It don't even seem like, and to young people, they probably say, oh, that was antique. You know, that wasn't that many years ago. You know, really, in the scheme of things, these cell phones we have haven't been around very long. I can remember on my job when the pager first came out. And I thought, oh, this is a wonderful invention right here. They can now reach me if they need me at work. So one day I'm driving around in the city, and my pager goes off. Yep, it's work. I need to call them. Well, it's different than today. No cell phone. So I had to go find a payphone. Those things are obsolete now. Got to the payphone and checked, and I did not have a quarter. It was done for. That pager did me no good unless I could go talk to somebody to give me a quarter to call on the phone. Times have changed so much today. You can have an app on your phone today. When we were in India in December, there was an app on my phone to where Cheryl was able to watch where we were at all times in India. Life 360, where it would monitor all the time. Okay, they're starting to move now. They have gone to this building, able to see the building. Technology has really made some changes. I remember not too long ago, Cheryl's mom called Cheryl and said, I believe I left my phone at the restaurant. And Cheryl said, well, hang on just a minute and I'll find out. So she looks on Life 360 and says, no, Mom, it's in your house. In fact, it shows to be over on this side of your house right here. I found that there's disadvantages to 360. Because Cheryl sometimes would call me on my way home from work and say, Dan, why are you at Burger King? Because I'm fixing supper. That thing can track you wherever you go. And I remember when the old pagers came out, and I was pretty impressed with it myself. And I remember my boys, they had to have a pager. Dad, get me a pager. And I said, you know what? If I need you, I can call loud enough that you'll know to come. But just that thing hanging on the side, it was just really impressive. And I remember one of the boys in their group at church got a pager. I'm trying to relate to you how time has changed for us. He got a pager, but you know, as most young boys, nobody needs to call him. And so one day at meeting, they were all outside visiting, and he disappeared for a little bit. And then he came hurrying back out of the chapel and stood there by him, and his cell phone went off. Somebody's calling. Well, yeah, he had just called himself. Just to be able to hear that thing ring. Times have changed for us. You know what? Today, if you have a question, Google it. You can ask, now, whether what Siri is telling you is true or not, she'll give you an answer. How many things you can just ask and instantly get an answer back? You can ask right now, how many people live in Tokyo, and an answer comes back to you. A lot of these things are an advantage to us today. You know, we can hardly roll back time now and say, everybody get rid of their cell phone, because I'd hate to let mine go. A few weeks ago, I broke a mirror on my truck and don't have a clue how to go about replacing it. But you know what you do is you just type in what year truck it is, and somebody has made a little video to tell you exactly, step by step, how to do it. Well, a few years ago, before that was available, I had a window, electric window motor go out in my car, and I didn't have that. But I kind of had the idea, if a man made it, a man can fix it. So I got me a pry bar, and I got the panel to come off, and it broke about every one of the plastic things that was going to hold it on when I got ready to put it back in. But I look in there, see, I didn't have what's available to me today. But I looked inside and I see what my problem is. The little motor is going to have to come out, and there's three bolts that will take it out. I took the three bolts out. If I'd only had somebody tell me what the next step was going to be. Because I took the three bolts out and my motor's still kind of stuck. So I stuck my arm in around behind the backside of it and I give it a yank. And I could do a video now to say, don't do it that way. Because it was like a bear trap. That thing is on a spring that slammed shut, and my arm happened to be inside of there. We have things available to us. You know, we can't roll back time now. We couldn't say, you know what, we see some disadvantages to this, let's just throw it all away. We can't do without it. But what we have got to do is to be able to learn to work with it. Because these little advances in technology, when misused, can cause my soul to be lost in the end. And yet it's such a great tool if I will use it right. You know what's available to us today in advances of technology for studying the Word of God? It is amazing. My grandfather, when he would come to meeting when I was little, he carried a huge leather satchel. And I mean, it was loaded down. He leaned over to pick it up and carry it. You know why? Back even when I was young, if you wanted to search a word in the Bible, you had your concordance that was about this thick. And if you could remember the word, just hope it wasn't a common word, because it could be three pages that you went through step by step trying to find that. Well, that was the one of the books that he carried in his satchel probably. And then the commentary. If any of you have the old Adams Clark commentary, it was about that thick again. And you put those two together and you got yourself a load right there. And then if we added our songbook to it, folks, do you remember back when you could remember just a portion of a song, just a word or two of a song, and you went searching back in the index trying to find that song, and you may or may not be able to do it. And today we are blessed with apps that will help us to be able to find a song, will help me to quickly be able to do a search for a word in the Bible. We are blessed. Folks, we're blessed today. I wasn't able to be here at the first of the meeting But you know, someone had put on the service live to where I could, even though I wasn't able to be here, I could hear the singing. I could listen to the message as it's being preached. You know what? We take that for granted. It just kind of feels like it's always been. It hasn't always been. You remember back when they used to have the tape ministry? Take those tapes, and I can even remember when they would package them together and send them to people that were isolated. When you listen to these tapes, send them on to the next one on the list, and let's get these circulated around. Folks, that seemed like a long time ago. And today, you can go to churchofgodpreaching.com, and you can hear messages, thousands of messages are available to us. I'm very thankful for advancement in technology. Last night we heard a message about being like a rock in the billows. Because there's storms, there's waves that's going to come against us that would like to shake us loose. There is a song that we sing sometimes. In times like these, you need the Bible. Folks, I want to tell you, cell phones all good and all that. But folks, nothing will replace the Word of God. To be able to, you know, just quick little things that someone has written that would be a little encouragement, that's good. But folks, there's times when we need the Word of God. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the rock. We heard last night, Ephesians 4 and 14, that we be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro. Something else came along tomorrow that I heard about, and I think I'll go try that out. Like a rock in the billows, it's solid. It's there when the tide's coming in and when the tide's coming out. And you know what? Every one of us, if we will look back, we will be able to find examples in our life. Remember the verse that says, mark the perfect man, behold the upright, because the end of that man is going to be peace. For us to be able to, remember it tells us there's a great cloud of witnesses who have gone on before us. When I look at that scripture today, I'm so thankful for those who lived the life, were faithful in their life, and made heaven their home. But you know, I also believe that cloud of witnesses also should include those who failed to do it, and I learned from their lessons that I'm not allowed to happen to me. In times like these, we need the Bible to be rooted and grounded in the Lord. Because there's some things that Siri cannot answer. Siri has an answer, but it doesn't agree with the Word of God. Each of us need to get familiar with what the Word of God says, to the point that it becomes my conviction and I stand on it. That's what causes me to become like that solid rock. When the tide is flowing one way or when it's flowing back the other way, that I can have convictions where I stand solid. Because the other day, I Googled this. How did the earth come into existence? Now, you'd think that's going to be one simple answer right there. Don't trust Wikipedia, because they started out giving me a good explanation, they thought. It says, the earth is thought to be. And before I got here, I heard a message about the I think generation. I think it happened this way. You know what? What I think, and really what you think, doesn't make much difference when I compare it all to eternity. What really is going to make a difference is what does the Word of God have to say about any subject there is. So whenever I look at this one, it says the earth is thought to have been formed about 4.6 billion years ago. And you know, it almost seems like today that what happens is, if you have a little trouble believing that to be true, then they will add about 5 or 10 more billion years to it, and that ought to really wow you then. That is going more than I can ever think about, so I guess I'll accept it. You know, folks, they got a lot of questions themselves because their theories have to be continually updated. We thought it was this. Now we think it is this. It says, we believe that the earth was formed by collisions. And that's also what caused the sun to be formed. You know, it's amazing that a haphazard world that happened from collisions, once it collided, everything's been perfect since then. It stayed in its place. You can count on time. You can take a look at the Farmer's Almanac, and it'll tell you if time continues a year from now, the sun's going to rise at this time, and it's going to set at this time. Folks, there's something that is going to be so important for us, and it's real important for the young people, because you're going to be faced with this out in the future. We're going to need faith, a confidence in God. I was looking at the definition of it, a complete trust or confidence in someone or something. You know, there's many people today have a complete trust in what a scientist has to say about how many billions of years old this earth is. There's a place I'd like to look at in Romans, because I think this is going to be a real important chapter for us to watch out in the future. You know, God allowed there to be things that if I want to, I can see God in it. But you know what? If I choose not to, I won't see God. I look at this one in Romans 1 and 20. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, and I look at this, every one of us have an opportunity to be able to see God in the things around us. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. And you follow this chapter, and it tells us about society today. And it began with not recognizing who God was and what he was doing. And I take this, I compare this to a little verse in Hebrews 11th chapter, the 3rd verse. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. I don't need anything more than that. I don't need to be able to explain the scientific how it could have happened. Because, folks, everything that we do is going to take more than a word to make it happen. I can say something today and it ain't going to make a difference. But we're talking about the God of heaven speaking. He spoke and these things came into existence. And that's all I need. By faith, I understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. I think about this. How much intellect has been wasted by scientists that took off in the wrong direction? If everyone, and you know what, I believe God is very interested in his people being able to understand more about his creation, because it only glorifies God. I believe he would be interested in what the Hubble telescope is sending back if those pictures caused people to say, wow, what a mighty God we serve. Things that I cannot even see with my eye, here comes pictures back of it. You remember there was maybe a year or so ago, they had been sending, it's amazing to me what man is able to do today, but they had been sending this little test module for years, and it finally landed in the place that they wanted it to be. And I mean, they were so happy with their successes, we are now going to be able to really find out some things about this. Well, there's one problem. It all operated off of God's sunlight, and it happened to land in the shade. And God's sunlight did not reach it. And it was just a very short time that they say, we're soon going to get the last information that thing can give us because the batteries are going dead. Landed in the shade. Folks, all those things, the things that are happening today can cause us to get overwhelmed with what's the future hold? Or it can make us climb on top of it and say, wow, what a mighty God we're serving today. He is well able. These same people that tell us that the earth is billions of years old, they're also worried about global warming. And about the time they call it global warming, God sends a snow that shuts down Washington, D.C. And they can't even get around. So they say, okay, we didn't really mean global warming. What we meant was global change. It's things are changing a lot. Folks, I want to tell you, God is still in control. Have faith in God. Young people, have faith in God. As the world is changing so much today, in my lifetime, how much it has changed. God is still alive and well. Some of you older ones may remember this, and I would like for you younger ones to Google it. It says, astronaut that read, in the beginning, God created. I Googled it a while ago. And it told about December 24th, 1968. What is that? That is 60 years ago? 50 years ago? That's talking about some change that has happened. It says the crew of Apollo 8 recited to the world verses 1 through 10 of the first chapter of Genesis. And it was while they were taking a picture back of Earth. Folks, talk about impressive. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And there were three of them that read a few verses apiece. It's still available to hear today. But already something had started happening in our society that a lawsuit was filed by Madeline O'Hara. She said, my First Amendment rights have been violated for having to hear that. So she sued the U.S. government for violations to her rights. You know, that's been 50 years ago. And it went to the Supreme Court. And I love their answer. I wish we had those same Supreme Court justices there today. They said, they dismissed it. Because they said, this lawsuit is not in our jurisdiction. You're going to need to take this to the moon if you want to be able to settle this one. That didn't happen somewhere that we'll be able to take care of it. And they dismissed it. They let it go. Where would we be today if scientists would be able to take a look at, hey, God made it, and we move from that point forward? If we could have a trust, not just young people, but all of us, a trust and a confidence in God, complete trust in someone or something. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. I can take a look at the first chapter of Genesis, have no more question. No matter how the world may scoff at it, I believe it. You know, Romans 1 continues on of what happens when people do not allow God to lead them in their life. It goes on to say that God gave them up. You know, folks, it is so great to have God leading our life. Because if I ever come to the point that he turns me loose, there are all kind of things that can happen in my life without him guiding it. Just like technology has progressed over time, our society, not really progressed, has digressed over that same amount of time. In September 21 of 1996, you know, we're going back quite a few years, there was a law passed. It was called the Defense of Marriage Act. And when I read that, I thought, come on, y'all must not have much to do up there to pass a law like this. The law was, it defined marriage as a union of one man and one woman. I thought, come on, that's understood. And then I find a few years pass, and that law was struck down in 2013. It's unconstitutional today. I used to allow those things to cause me to be real distressed as it started heading in the wrong direction. But I want to tell you, the Lord has helped me with something. Have you ever gone to prayer meeting on a Wednesday night and you try to think, what is it that the Lord has done for me this week that I need to be thankful for? I want to tell you, this old world right now is loading me up with things to be thankful for. For many years, there were things I took for granted that now I realize I'm thankful for. There is a marking on the restroom doors that have told me for years, this one's for the men, this one's for the women. Folks, I'm sure thankful that no matter what the world says, no matter what direction it goes, in the beginning, God created male and female. The word of God will never change. It does not matter how many laws get passed, how many things change out in the world. God can lead us through this time that we're living in. To the young people today, God can help you to be faithful. And what it's going to take is have faith in God. By faith, I understand that He created male and female. Don't need anything else with it. That's what I believe. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. There's a big push on today that you ought to be able to take a choice which one you want to be. There's a word that I never heard before, transgender. Folks, these are the times that we're living in. We might as well face it. But I tell you what, we're serving a great big God. And all I've got to do is look back and realize it doesn't matter what the world, what direction or how far the world goes. It's real important for me to understand what God created, and it'll continue that way. There's a verse I'd like to look at. It's in Romans, 3rd chapter. Because we're going to have opposition come to us. Because I tell you, the world is not satisfied for you to just let it go. The world will only be satisfied when you agree with it and accept it. But here's where we stand. What if some, 3rd chapter, 3rd verse of Romans, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Is it going just because all around me it seems like we're in the, there's fewer and fewer that are believing it this way? Doesn't matter. Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let me always realize, let me just find it in the Word of God. We are, they're worried about what us destroying the earth, and I believe we should take care of what God has provided. But you know what? God is well able to take care of His things if we will commit it to Him. Have you ever heard anyone come on and say with this global warming issue, folks, let's call a day of fast and prayer and ask God to help our environment? You don't hear that. Why? Because we don't see God in things anymore. When they take a look at how old the earth is, you think how much money could have been saved if they would have started with Genesis 1? And how thankful we need to be that with just a quiet assurance, we don't go out and have some big debates about it. But just solid in my mind, I don't need anything else but to understand that on the first day he did this, God spoke and there was light. And you know what? That wasn't even on the day that he created the sun. God can make there be light just because he says, be light. And he didn't separate it until a little bit later. So those kind of things, man cannot figure it out, nor do I care to start trying. What I want to do is by faith we understand that the worlds were framed. By faith we understand he made male and female. It'll be that way while the world continues. You remember in the third chapter of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar was not satisfied to just say, I've built this golden image. If you would like to, stop by and worship it. Instead, it was a decree made. I've got it. And a decree serious enough that he already had a fiery furnace that was already cooking. He had already started it. You know, if you read that, that's not the first time that he saw those three Hebrew children. If you look at the end of the chapter before that, he already knew them. Daniel had already recommended those three men to him, and he had appointed them to high positions in his government. But now the time has come for the test, and for him to come to the place, something more than just, if you would like to participate in this, won't you come on by? The world around us is trying to do the same thing today. It's not just we'll believe this way and you believe this way. It is going to come to a place, and it's fast heading that way, where you must accept this other. It will be forced on you. But young people, what I want to encourage you is take down the Word of God, hide it in your heart to where it's just a calm assurance. You don't have to go debate it, but just have it settled in your heart. God is the one that made it. There's a song that we sing, the world's fierce winds are blowing. Temptation is sharp and keen. I feel a peace in knowing that my Savior can stand between. He can stand between where I am today and those things that want to crowd around us. You know, there are times when we could say, but you know what? This little light of mine, it hardly makes a difference. You know, your cell phone light, if you turned it on right now, you would hardly be able to tell you had it on. But I want to tell you when it really is important is the darker it gets around you. You turn that light on in a perfectly dark room and you'll be blinking your eyes because it seems so bright. Folks, we're living in a time where darkness is all around us. But I want to tell you, your light will shine greater at that time. It's a great time for the Christian's light to shine in this darkness. And I think about this for parents with small children growing up in this day and time. Encourage your little children in the role that they should play. To the fathers, encourage your boys with the little truck that you get them. Show them the different sounds that a muffler can make when they're pushing it across the room. To the girls. I remember when Heather was real small, she had some dolls. You know what? Those things were real people to her. Her brothers were much older, and sometimes the doll would be left on the couch or something, so they'd pick it up and throw it over somewhere else. And you know, that really stirred her up. Wait a minute, you're liable to hurt my baby here. You know what that's called? It's called natural affection. It's something that came with the person. It came with the little girl. You just hand them a doll and allow them to follow in that direction, and they will have that mothering instinct. It only needs to be encouraged. So for us today, in the day and time that we're living in, there is something that is very important, and there's something that's happening around that is trying to destroy it, and that is to be satisfied with who God made you to be. I was looking at just the definition of satisfied. This definition, it said, to put an end to uncertainty or doubt. Satisfied with who God made me. You know, there's verses that say, how can you by taking thought add one cubit to your stature? But I can remember a time when boys tried. There used to be a time when even boys could get platform shoes. They might even stand up 3 inches or something, but you could always beat them running. But it was to try to change stature. For us today, satisfied with whether I'm short or whether I'm tall or the color of my hair. I thought about this today. Here I am, gray-headed. If I came in tomorrow with jet black hair, what would you think? Well, one thing is, give it just a few days, it's going to look more like a skunk because it grows out what it was before. So, you know, there is a big advantage to me as time passes. I had somebody, a guy, look at me one day and he said, Dan, you're getting wrinkles. He said, here, go buy this cream and it'll take away your wrinkles. Now, that skin's got to go somewhere. But trying to change, usually a guy will never be concerned with who he is. But I want to tell you, even that is changing today. Men will be lovers of their own selves. But you know what? It's a prime time for us as a Christian to show the world that I am satisfied with who God made me to be. You remember the place that says in Romans 9 and 20, shall the thing formed say to he that formed it, why did you make me thus? Folks, that can happen in just who I am. Lord, why did you allow me to be this way? But for me to come to a place that I can be satisfied with who God made me to be. Folks, I tell you what, you talk about peace. Jesus said, I've got a peace that the world cannot give. That will transcend everything, all the problems that the world is having today. Remember in Jeremiah 18 where it said, I went down to the potter's house, and he had a desire to make a work on the wheel. Now we can say those are places where he desired to change who we were. But you know what? That changing that he wanted to make was not who he made me to be. It was things that I allowed in my life that needed to be adjusted back to who he made me to be. To allow God to make those adjustments in me. We hear a word today. It's called minorities. And it's causing a lot of difficulty in our world today. You will not find that word in the Bible. Why? There is no such thing. We're all created equal. You know what? If we could trace it back far enough, we're all made of one blood. You remember when they were talking to them in Acts 17 and 26, said we're all made of one blood. If we could trace it back far enough, we all descended from Adam and Eve. Can that thing that is formed say to him that formed it, why did you do it this way? But for me to be satisfied, Lord, you made me this way. I am so thankful we are all equal in his sight. And he wants us to be satisfied with who God made us to be. And when I get there, there's something else that automatically happens. There is a trust that comes into my life that I cannot cause to happen on my own. Scripture in Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. It's a guarantee. You know what? Joseph was satisfied. He was willing to accept the things that God allowed in his life. To the point that at the end of it, when he met his brothers, his attitude was right. He said, it wasn't you that caused that to happen. It was God that caused it to happen. When I can come to the place that I realize God's in control of the things in my life, the things that he allows to come into my life, God has allowed it. And he has a purpose for it. Job. to lose all of his earthly possessions in one day, and yet to have a trust in God. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So where there is discontent all around us today, the child of God should be able to be the one that shines a light, because I am satisfied with who God made me to be. The only thing I'm not satisfied with is any changes that I have made in myself that has caused me not to be what he made me to be, and allow him to make those adjustments in my life. Without faith, it's going to be impossible to please God. But by faith, there's a lot of things that we can understand. I don't have to explain it in detail. I just believe God said it, and it happened. And I thank God for that. Pray for me.